All right, good morning. We're so glad that you all are here today. It's a happy day here at Westgate. My name is Luke. I'm the lead pastor here. We just want to welcome you all, especially if you are new to the church. I know actually there's a few guests that are here with us today. I want to point your attention to this Connect card that's in front of you. This is a great, the best way by far to let us know that you are here and how we can serve you and help you get connected to the church family. So please fill that out. There's a QR code on there if you would rather do it that way. I do apologize. Are anyone like fans of the show Friends and remember the episode where Phoebe gets sick? And she's like singing with a sick voice. My stinky, stinky shoes. You guys remember that? Just a few of you? Okay. Well, that's how I feel this morning, so I apologize for that. But happy to be here with you as we wrap up this first series of the year, this Soul Business sermon series that we've been doing. And I just wanted to take a personal note to say how grateful I am. Today's psalm is all about Thanksgiving. How grateful I am for each and every one of you that is part of the work that this church is doing. It's amazing to be in my seat and to witness all that gets accomplished and all of the ways that this church makes an impact on people's internal spiritual lives and makes an impact on the community. We started talking last week about how we might be able to support our community during this season. And so a number of you gave to that one fund that we mentioned through Transform Minnesota, and we're very thankful for that. Would encourage you to keep giving in that way. A number of you stepped forward and said that you knew of specific individuals and had some needs that we might be able to meet as a church, and we were able to meet those needs. And that's a beautiful thing. Please continue to bring those forward. Our housing ministry team is doing amazing work on behalf of some of the families that we've been serving over the last several years. But it's not just around current events and those things. We yesterday morning had a grandparenting seminar here that my wife and I were able to be a part of. It was so fun, such a great experience to be with you all yesterday. So thank you for that. That's amazing. This wasn't on the list, but I was just up here watching this worship team do their thing and say thank you to the amazing worship crew that we have here every Sunday morning. It's awesome. Awesome to see. The list goes on. Last Thursday, we were at downtown at the donut shop, and then right across from the site of the shooting of Alex Preddy, and there was about 25 of us there that were there praying at 7 a.m. in negative below zero weather, and I felt that it was really powerful. It was powerful on a spiritual level to be there together and to experience that. And also to be praying over just coverage over this whole circumstance. This whole situation is not anything we want to see and not anything that God wants to see. And so continue to pray. We are going to continue to pray for peace and for clarity, for wisdom, for all involved in that. So it's a good thing. It's a good day to be a part of our church. And I'm really, really thankful for all of you. It's a sign to me that you are people here. Generally speaking, this church is a place of people who aren't just here to check the box of I went to church, aren't just here to consume in some Christian ideology that you suppose is a good idea, but that you are people who are genuinely trying to grow closer to God and let that drive your behavior, drive your life, drive everything about who you are as a person, and that is what it's all about. So that's a really, really good thing. That's what this series, Soul Business, has been about as we've gone through a number of different psalms, talking through how our hearts, our souls, can connect to God's heart, and today is no different. So I'll invite you to stand one more time this morning, if you would, while we read Psalm 138 together. And by together, I mean you watch, I talk. Just this time. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the presence of each person here this morning. And I thank you for the powerful, tangible, real presence of your Holy Spirit that is among us. And I thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness and the grace of Jesus Christ, as Miss Bree talked about this morning through our act of communion. And I thank you that you are on the throne and you are in charge. And so, Lord, now we bring our best to you in the midst of this time of this message and worship. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do the speaking today. And I ask, Lord, that your word would do the work in our hearts and minds. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. So last week I was talking a lot about like the scripture and being in tune with God and his word, his messages for us, and left it with how we can soak in that word and then speak out that word and then stake our lives on that word, the word of God. And it struck me as I was reading this passage, just a question to you all. Like, did you know that as you're reading a passage like this that was written by King David, you know, 3,000 some years ago, that did you know that you can claim these words as your own? Have you ever had a moment where you've had a passage of scripture or a verse of scripture that you just feel like this was the time that I needed to hear these words and I needed to claim them for myself? You can do that at any time the Lord leads you to. I've had a few such circumstances. One was when I was in high school and my oldest sister Mandy was going through a really serious cancer battle as she had been diagnosed with leukemia. And I found myself trying to navigate that as a sophomore and then a junior in high school. And the Lord brought before me Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I needed those words. I claimed those words as my own. Similarly, I would say when I was in high school, I did a mission trip to Jamaica with a bunch of high schoolers from my church, and there was a really powerful experience where we did a foot washing, if you've ever been a part of one of those, and it was really a marker moment to me. So I feel like I really claimed the idea of Jesus washing his disciples' feet in John 13. In many ways, when we were in Illinois, Hillary and I had our first son, Levi, while we were living in Illinois, and there was a number of challenges we faced. And at that time, 2 Corinthians really came and impressed upon me this idea that when I am weak, God is strong. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I claimed those verses for myself. And I wonder today, as you look at a psalm like this, or any of the other psalms that we've talked about, as you're going through your own soul business, I wonder what it would look like for us to claim these words today, to claim these words as our own. We're going to break them down a little bit. And I'm certain that they're going to mean something slightly different for each one of us. But the act of giving thanks to God is profound. It is a deep, I would say, central part of what it means to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, is to understand the act, the importance of regularly giving thanks to him. Okay, so let's look at verse 1 together for just a minute here. David writes, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Seems pretty straightforward, right? You just read that at face value, nothing really stands out, but I wanted to point out a few things. First of all, this word give. Thanks is not something that God expects from you or takes from you. God provides so many good gifts to us, and sometimes you might wonder, well, what can I do to try to reciprocate on some level? Well, what we can do is we can give him the gift of thanks. We can give him a gift of thanks, and not just like listing a mental exercise of, oh, this is good, I like my food, I like my family, I like my house, but we can, with our whole selves, our whole hearts, the passage says, our whole hearts, we can give thanks to God. And of course, this isn't talking about our physical hearts. This is talking about our entire being, our spiritual selves. You might even say our soul can give thanks to God. It's the same word that's used about Pharaoh in Exodus, where Pharaoh's heart was hardened against God. Our response would be the opposite. Our heart is full of thanks for the goodness of God and what he does. And then it gets really interesting. This part here didn't make sense to me at first. I had to really think about what this means. This phrase, before the gods, I sing your praise. I had to like process, like, what does that mean? And sometimes when I'm confused in that way, I start to look at what the specific words are meaning. And I actually thought it'd be fun for you guys, maybe not for all of you, but for some of you, it might be fun to get a peek behind the curtain a little bit, okay? Seminary, I've always said, doesn't necessarily teach you a lot of things you need to know, but it does teach you how to learn. It teaches you how to learn about Scripture and those things. So at the risk of like tearing the veil away a little bit at how messages get preached and developed and those types of things, I wanted to show you, this is a software called Logos Bible Software, where you can actually, can you kind of see? Yeah, so you can actually see, I'm going to play the video for you here. You can actually see, I'm going to look at the word before the gods, it says. And I can actually go into the software and you can click on the word and then you click that button, word study. It's going to tell you specifically what the Hebrew word is and what it does. And then it can pull up all of the uses of that word and it starts to give you a different sense of each, okay? So you can actually see in this sense, this means before means to or towards or until or away. For, like towards something. I'm going before something, right? Towards something. Okay, that's one of the senses. Here it's away from or out of or since, and then it shows all of the different verses that that passage, that way, that sense of the word gets used. In this sense, it's to or towards, again, from, into, about. All right, now I'm looking for Psalm 138, trying to figure out where is this word before. This is like from, ahead of, before, like, is it in terms of timeline? No, I still haven't found it. Still haven't found Psalm 138 in here. That which is opposite corresponds to, contrary to, against, on the other side. And boom, there we found it. We found it. Psalm 138, verse 1 right there. I don't know if that's interesting to you or not. But what it does is it helps you understand a little bit more of what exactly is being said in the passage. So in this passage, it says before the gods, and the sense of that word is in opposition to, contrary to, against, okay? Before, I stand before something and I am against. It's like when I'm at the grocery store and I see anything that even includes any little bit of coconut in it. I stand against it. Strong opposition to, okay? It's just like that. So we're giving thanks with our whole heart against something, David says. But what are we standing against as we're supposed to be giving thanks to God for good things that are happening in our lives? Well, we're standing against the gods. The gods. So what was a god in the Hebrew mind? If you'll stick with me here. Literally at that point, anything could have become a god. Anything could have been considered a god. Most commonly, you would hear of like celestial things like the sun, the moon, the stars. Those things could become gods. Or an elemental thing like air, water, mountains, the earth, the oceans. These things could become gods. Different creatures could become gods. They could worship a certain animal that they thought was cool, or, you know, the golden calf, those types of things. Or even people themselves. People themselves could become gods. They could claim deity at the end of their life, and they themselves become gods. It seems like an appropriate understanding as you look at our world today. There's lots of gods that get worshipped out there, right? Of course, there's the spiritual elements that we think about. You think about crystals, you think about Scientology, you think about Reiki, you think about astrology and horoscopes and the Wiccan world and all these types of things. There's lots of gods that exist out there in today's society that people are supposedly worshiping. And there's also real world gods, of course, money and sex and fame and all those things. And so what David is saying is here, we're giving thanks to God, our one true God, the Lord our God, in opposition to those other things. As if we are elevating the work of the one true God in our lives, knowing that that is what matters most, not these other gods that we might see out there. these other gods that we might be drawn into worshiping. So here's the soul business question of the day. What gods are you praising? What gods are you praising? I, at the risk of it being too soon, there are political gods out there. And sometimes we say it's people. We could list names on one side or the other of the political spectrum, right? But in reality, if you actually dig into what is going on out there, the people are actually representing an ideology. So it's not about the person. It's about the ideology that the person represents. And we find ourselves, sometimes, based on how we were raised, based on what media we consume, whatever it might be, we find ourselves praising that ideology as our God. That's what's dictating or driving our thoughts. Certainly different celebrities can act as gods out there. Sports figures, different things. A little jab in there for me personally would be our bank account balances, our investment account balances, our, like, how much stuff we have. Hillary and I just moved. Like, we cannot believe the amount of stuff we have. It's crazy. Those things can become the gods that we worship, the things that we're thankful for. Our fitness, our appearance, the style. We can worship the gods of science and medicine. It's pretty clear in the book of Exodus, you must not have any other gods but me. That's like number one, right? You must not have any other gods but me. So when we're giving thanks, we're not just listing the good things that we're thankful to. We're also declaring to God, in opposition of all the things the world wants me to emphasize and highlight and prioritize and praise, I'm going to praise you, Heavenly Father. I'm going to praise you because I believe that you created me. I believe that you sustain me. I believe that you're watching over me. And for that, I give you thanks. Let's look at verse 2. David writes, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. So here again at the beginning of this verse, David is reiterating the same point. He's saying, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. Not those other things out there, but we are emphasizing, we are highlighting, we are focusing on the one true God who has given us all of the good things that we have. And then he continues on and he says, for what? Your steadfast love, your faithfulness, because you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Soul business question, when you look at this verse, seems pretty basic, but I want to phrase it in a certain way. You might have been at church before where they say, well, what are you really thankful for? I want to ask you, what is your soul thankful for? What is your deepest, most inner part actually thankful for? And have you expressed that to God? Have you made that clear to God? And what's interesting about that question, if you want to try to catch my meaning when I say what is your soul actually thankful for, is if you look at the things that David is thankful for, it's not anything physical or anything that he owns or has. He's not thankful in this verse, at least, about his possessions or the relationships he has, any of the tangibles. That's not what he's thankful for. He's thankful specifically about the character of God, who God is, and what God has done for him. That God, he's declaring, he's showing us his theology, his belief system. He's showing that above all else, he is thankful that God has steadfast love in the midst of all of the chaos of David's life. That's a characteristic of God that he is grateful for. He's showing that God is loyal, he's steadfast, he's strong, he is faithful. He is faithful to his people, to his children. That's a characteristic of God that David's soul is grateful for, God's faithfulness, and that he's been exalted above all things. That's a characteristic of God that David's soul is thankful for. I'm all for lists of things that we're thankful for. We do it during Thanksgiving time, all these things. You might do a daily journal where you write something you're thankful for. We like to do that. That's good. That's good. It's good for our soul to be aware of the things that we're thankful for. What I want to challenge you when you're talking about your soul business today, though, is that there's something even deeper than that when it comes to gratitude towards God. Because I believe that there is, and this came from studying this passage, I believe that there is a really significant tie between our thankfulness and our theology. What we're thankful for is a reflection of what we believe to be true about God. As in, our ability to pour out thanks to God reflects how deeply we truly believe in Him and His goodness and His power. So let me get specific here so that you can track with me. Some of you may have found it hard to be thankful to God over this last month. And I get that, truly. I get it. And it's hard because you're trying to figure out, well, how does He allow these types of things? Why is it that if God is master, sovereign, leader of all these things, how is it that we're in this state of being as a society? But track with me here. That's a theological question. That's a question about your beliefs, about whether God truly is sovereign over all of this chaos, whether God truly is master of it all, whether God truly is in charge of everything. Here's a few more examples. I thank God for my food and for my clothes, for our house, and for the air in my lungs. But I struggle to thank God when I accomplish something significant. Because that was me, right? A deeper theology would know that God did that through me. God equipped me, enabled me to be able to do that thing. Here's another example. I thank God deeply for my family. It's the thing that I thank God far and away the most for, is my wife Hillary and our three sons. I struggle very much with the idea that I should stay thankful to God for sustaining me if I were to lose my family. That's too much. And that's a theological issue. That's a belief issue, a faith issue, right? Even though His word says that He will sustain us through those types of trials. I thank God for bringing me and my family peace and keeping us safe, but I struggle to thank Him for the promise that it says in Romans that He will work out all things for good, even in the midst of a conflict or a tragedy. When something is going poorly, I struggle to thank God in those moments. I thank God for forgiving me, but I struggle to thank Him for forgiving the people that I find reprehensible. Do you see what I mean? What you thank Him for and don't thank Him for says a lot about what you think of Him. What you thank Him for or don't thank Him for says a lot about what you think of Him. Now, we could keep going into the other verses in this passage. We could keep going, but what we want to pivot towards is something a little more experiential here this morning. So we're actually going to take an extended time of worship and thanks so that we can put into practice some of what I'm talking about here. But before we do that, I just wanted to clarify that the big idea is pretty simple, okay? It doesn't take 45 minutes to explain the importance of being thankful to God. What's important to remember when it comes to our soul business is that every single time we show God our thanks, every single time we find a new reason to be grateful for who God is, a characteristic of who He is, we are connecting with Him. Our soul is connecting with His heart, right? Because He likes that we would notice His active work in our world. And I will say there is no limit to how thankful we ought to be for our Creator, our Savior, our Sustainer, the one powerful force that can get us through anything and everything. There's no point where we've like arrived here. It reminds me of an illustration I used at the beginning of this series. This idea that on one hand you've got God's heart, and on the other hand we've got our soul. And what soul business is essentially us trying to engage in God's heart, to try to get closer to Him. And that as we overlap with the heart of God, as we connect with the heart of God, then healing takes place. And wisdom comes. And grace and forgiveness covers over our shame. The act of thanksgiving, as you're starting to talk to someone that's just learning how to pray or whatever it might be, is probably the foremost way to connect to the heart of God. So if you find yourself disconnected to Him on any given morning or in any given season of life, start with thanks and praise. If you're confused about what's going on in the world around you, start with thanks and praise. If you're uncertain about how things are going to work out, start with thanks and praise. Because in doing so, you're going to show Him that you believe that He is still on your side. You're going to show Him that you believe that He is still almighty over it all. You know, essentially, this picture right here is what is the main thing I wanted from this first series. You know, I didn't know how it was going to be received. I knew at this, right? This is what I was hoping for, that we as a church would notice how distracted we are and how caught up we get, and understand that the work of connecting our soul to God's heart is an ongoing work. It's an everyday kind of work. It's a never-ending kind of, no matter how strongly you believe or how many days you've been at church or how often you've prayed or whatever it is, wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, that you would start to move closer to the heart of God. And Psalms is not the only way to do that, certainly. There's all of Scripture, and then there's all of our other spiritual practices. There's worship. There's all these other things. But to me, it's the Psalms that help me feel most connected to the heart of God. And, you know, I didn't know how it would be received, but then over the course of the last month, I've started hearing some stories. Some stories of people who fasted for the first time at the beginning of this month, after we had talked that through in the first week. Stories of people who were trying to figure out what it looks like to give dignity to all people, especially in the midst of what's going on out there, on one side or the other. And that was wrestling for them. It was hard for them. And I said, praise God. Praise God that you're wrestling with that. Just the act of wrestling is going to bring you closer to the heart of God. Stories of, after last week's message, people saying, I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to read more. I'm going to soak in it. And then I'm going to go talk to my family about it. That's good work. That's good business being done. It's the most important business being done. And now the challenge is on each of us to continue that work. Through whatever means, through whatever direction God might give you or provide you, I just know one thing, that to the extent your soul grows closer to the heart of God, many, many things will make themselves clear in your life. So we're going to practice instead of keep preaching here. We're going to take a time, these guys up here, again, just super thankful for their gifts and the way that they've prayed over this time and prepared for today. They're going to lead us in some songs of thanksgiving. And even right now, this morning, the extent to which you're able to express gratitude to God through worship or through whatever prayer work is going on in your heart and mind right now, that's the extent to which God is going to work on your soul this morning, okay? So I'll invite you to stand. I think that seems really appropriate. Of course, if that's not what you're feeling, you can sit back down, but let's all start by standing. I'll pray for us, and then these guys will take over. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God of unlimited love. That you are a God who forgives and accepts us in the midst of our great failings. That you are a God who is present with us, not watching from afar, but in it with us. And for all the other ways that we are thankful to you, God, we lift up our praise to you now as a body, that this would be a spiritual marker, a moment for us. We are a church filled with gratitude for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.